Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to On the Front Lines of Caregiving. I am your host, Lynette Whiteman, and I am the caregiver for my 91-year-old mother, who has been living with me for the past 6 years. I am also the executive director of Caregiver Volunteers of Central Jersey. We're a free nonprofit that provides support to caregivers and the homebound elderly. I am really excited today to be talking to Mary Vallis, who is the owner of Your Sparkling Potential, LLC, and also a family caregiver. Mary, welcome, welcome. I'm so happy to talk to you today.
Hi, good morning, Lynette. I am thrilled to be here on the program with you and to anyone listening in.
Thank you, Mary. So while we start off, tell me about your role as a caregiver and who is the person that you feel most responsible for? Who are you caring for?
So in my care is my mom. She just turned 84, and although that may sound like a big age to a lot of people, it's just a number, and as we all age, we realize that. So in her mind and in her spirit, she's more like a 60-year-old or a 40-year-old, so that makes the challenges even greater. She enjoys a lot of different activities, and with her different ailments, it's just making life more challenging.
Wow. So tell me about that. Tell me about, like, so she wants to do things that she shouldn't be doing, and it's hard for her to accept being 84. How does that make that a challenge for you as her caregiver?
So, Lynette, you said that so well. That summed up the whole show right there.
Okay.
You know, challenges as a caregiver, and I'd like to say that carers come in all shapes and sizes. It's not necessarily the person who is providing physical care. It could be emotional support. It could be spiritual support. It could be financial support. So we come in all different shapes and sizes. I like to call myself a care partner. I've been both in the caring profession as a professional and now also as a family member. And you know, Mary the caregiver professional and Mary the care partner family member are not the same person. And so with my mom, she does not live with me, unlike your circumstance, but I still am very involved in her social planning, in her spiritual planning, and working with other family members to coordinate care. And so with rheumatoid arthritis, leaving her hands crippled, she's not able to drive and has to give up that independence. And that's really challenging for a lot of people. We joke about it when we're, you know, when we're a certain age that we don't want to have to do certain things, but that's by our choice. When someone tells us, you can't do that anymore, that's a tough pill to swallow. So there have been a lot of challenges that her mind is active and wants to craft and wants to drive and wants to go out, but her body won't allow her to do these things. So it does bring on great challenges to be the voice of reason. You know, this isn't safe or this has to wait. And you want to be very careful as a caregiver not to be, the helper of the helpless. And so in my role, I really try to focus on looking at myself as a care partner, because that person that you're giving care to is not only taking, they have something to give as well. And for me, it's important to remember that it's not the disease that I'm providing care for, it's the person, and the disease makes different situations happen. And so I have to remember that my mom is a person. She has a personality. She has needs. She has a sense desire to have a sense of belonging and to give, and so to not always be the caregiver who's giving and saying, do this, do that, let me help you, let me do this, and to try to word what I'm saying in a sense where she's helping me and then being thankful for it.
Right. So when you you're a professional person, you know, caregiver, and you're a family member. This is your mom. What did anything surprise you about yourself? So take off your professional hat and put on your daughter hat. Did anything surprise you about yourself as far as what you're like as a caregiver? Like, you know all this knowledge, but personally dealing with your mom, did anything surprise you, that something that came up for you or a problem that you struggle with being a daughter?
Absolutely. When you are a family caregiver, and especially if that person is a parent, you start to I'm going to speak in my for me. You
right,
know,
so
I'll start to realize that I am acting like the mom, like the roles are reversing, and my mom doesn't want that. She's said, when did you kids become the boss of me? Mm-hmm. So we have to always remember that, you know, okay, I'm the daughter, and as the daughter, I'm not a professional, and even things I've said to people over the years, when you're personally put in that role, it's something totally new. So something that really surprised me is that saying something that you get off of paper is a lot easier than living it.
Yeah,
living it
absolutely.
In real time with a real personality. And
right.
And to learn how to navigate your energy and your time and your patience and the amount of strength that you have and need to get the job done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you are married. You have a son who's a junior in high school right now.
Yes.
You have your mom. You have your dog, and you're getting your business off the ground. Your sparkling potential as the author. So you have a lot of things in the air right now going for you.
Yes.
How do you manage all of those things, or is there ever times where you're like, I just can't do this. This is too much for me.
So, Lynette, I think with most of us who provide care in whatever shape or form, we are juggling a lot. We have all these balls in the air, and we are just wondering how we're going to keep afloat. And so for me, it's really important that I have realistic goals and expectations. As a caregiver, it's so easy to get down and frustrated and depressed even and think mm-hmm. about, my gosh, I'm not doing enough. I'm not doing everything good enough because I'm trying to do too many things. As you said, you know, I'm a wife. I'm a mother. I'm trying to get a business off the ground. I'm trying to provide care for my mom and coordinate that with a lot of other people. I think I call myself her social secretary. You know, all her friends from Bible study and everywhere contact me to find out what's going on. And it is a lot to juggle. And so, you know, being realistic and not getting down on myself or beating myself up is a big priority for me. Making a list. I probably am in the same boat with a lot of people where it's nice to check something off that to-do list. It just gives me such a sense of satisfaction that even if I don't get to everything, I check something off. So a to-do list is great for me in organizing everything so that I can get a realistic idea of how much time is there really in a day and how much time and energy can I dedicate to all the tasks I have to do while not losing a sense of who I am and taking breaks to re-energize myself, because we forget to do that and we have to actually build it into our schedule.
And what has been your hardest part? What has been your biggest challenge along this with handling all this stuff? What is something that you have struggled with the most?
So as Mary, the caregiver to mom, I think my biggest challenge, even though I'm starting a business, which is a huge challenge, part of that business is as a life coach and helping other people get on their path. And I always say I need a life coach to help me out. It's dealing with those loved ones, families and friends who want to be helpful and give you unsolicited advice. And you know they're just coming from a place of love and concern, but trying to accept that and not shout, I don't need one more person telling me what to do or making it seem like you're pointing out what I'm not doing right. And so learning how to deal with that anger that can come out of that or that bitterness and that fatigue is one of my biggest, biggest challenges.
What's worked for you when those feelings, because I think every single caregiver is going to relate to what you just said. So what do you do to deal with your anger and bitterness? How are you working to overcome that? Right, because I think people probably just wallow in it.
Yeah. That's such a great question, Lynette, because it's true, because we don't have time to find a better way. We're too busy doing stuff.
Right.
So that kind of gets pushed to the side, to the point where we just want to start yelling at somebody just to relieve all that tension. And we know that is not the healthy way to handle that negativity. So for myself, I try to live each day with a grateful heart. As well as I can, I wake up, I'm thankful for the air in my lungs, and I remind myself that even though being a care partner is tiring, how lucky I'm not at the other end of that at this time, that I'm not the one who has to receive the care, that I'm able to give it. And so I look at the thankfulness in my situation that I can do it and that I want to do it and then that I'm just going to do the best I can with what I have and what I know. I also find it really important for me so that anger and depression doesn't creep up too easily, to recognize that. And when I start seeing myself going down that path, to find a way to pull myself back, because it's just going to lead to no good. It's going to, you know, just take away more time and more energy. And that's really what any caregiver or care partner needs, more of that time and energy. So I practice an exercise of reframing negative statements and putting a positive spin on it. And I do this throughout the day because I have to. This is what works for me. It could also be just like taking that break where you listen to a song you like that's, you know, soothing and relaxing while you have a cup of tea or coffee, or you hear an upbeat song on the radio and you just get up and move around. Who cares what it looks like, just to get a little energy flowing in your body. So these little moments of me time have to happen. And as caregivers, I think we feel almost like we're selfish if we take time for ourselves. And if anybody's been on a plane, you think about the first thing they say for the adult to put on their oxygen first so you can help the others around you. It's the same thing with caregiving. You have to replenish your sense of self and your energy so that you can continue to provide the best care that you can.
Right. And so you mentioned that about how you're on the other side of it and you're grateful for that. So think about maybe your son later on, or your daughter-in-law, or your brother or your sister.
Right.
What would you want to tell them about being a caregiver for you? What would you want them to know?
That's such a good question, Lynette. I think it's so important for all of us to just know that we are someone special, just to look at that person as a person, not as a disease, not as like Mary who can't remember anything, Mary who can't cut up her food, Mary who won't stop talking incessantly. you know, and to think like this is this person, this is their personality. What would they want? How can I make her feel like she is loved and she can give love and that she can help and be, you know, part of the environment around her? We're so busy taking away, as we do for people, we forget that they want to be able to do what they can for themselves. So I would say, please give me a clipboard with a checklist, because I love that, even if I can't hold a pen upright, and just let me feel like I'm part of what's going on, that I can contribute, because I, you know, it's something we all want to be able to do.
Right. And as far as like just telling people, you know, about not giving unsolicited advice and all that sort of stuff, which just makes caregivers.
So I have a mantra that
yes,
really works for me.
I say,
I don't need to be evaluated. I want to be validated. We all want to know we're doing the best we can with what we have and what we know, and we don't need people telling us, don't do this, you should do that. You know, it's like, it's nice, it's great, but unless you're coming here and telling me, go take the afternoon off and see a movie, and you're going to do it, it's not really helpful.
Yep. All right. So I had said this to Mary before. I want this on a T-shirt. Please don't evaluate. I don't need to be evaluated.
I want to be validated. Which will be the
perfect
title of my book when it's finished.
Okay. All right. And when your book comes out, you're going to be back on our show to tell us all about your book.
I can't wait.
Would you be willing to share a picture of you and your mom? Maybe I could post it on my Facebook page with a link to this interview.
Absolutely.
Okay.
That would be great.
All right. Okay. So
I love
Mary,
to show off my mom.
I know. Mama Jean. She's
yeah, she's the most incredible person I know.
Yeah.
Even despite all her ailments and aging, she just tries to make every day the best.
Yeah. Well, and so do you. Thank you so much to Mary for being with me today. Thank you for listening today to On the Front Lines of Caregiving. And my goal for this show is by caregivers sharing their experiences and their stories, everyone will feel supported and not alone in what can be a very difficult journey. I get a lot of calls from caregivers asking for help from our nonprofit, and they all say, I think I'm the only one, or they feel guilty saying certain things. And you're not alone. These feelings are shared by so many people. So, again, if you would like to see a picture of Mary and her mom, Jean, I'm going to post that to my Facebook page, Lynette Kittner-Whiteman. And you could check in and take a look at Mary and her wonderful mom. And if you would like to share your story with me, I would love to hear from you as well. Just send me a message on Facebook, and I'll get right back to you. So thank you again, Mary. Have a wonderful day. I'm going to try to reframe it when people give me advice that I don't need.
Right, there you go.
And you have a wonderful, wonderful day. Thank you so
thank
much.
Thank you, and
Mary.
Thank you for doing this program. This is awesome.
You're welcome. Okay. Talk
thank
to you.
You. Bye bye.
Bye bye. Okay.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.